We are beginning we're in kind of just a standalone message called Best Blank Ever. Would you say Best Blank Ever? Best blank ever. And today, what I want to do is kind of just ask at the beginning, have any of you ever had a moment where like you were at the beginning of something or you're about to start something and you looked forward with it or at it with just like real optimism and a real sense of enthusiasm? Like, you know what? This is going to go really well. Anybody ever had that moment in life? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was for you. For me, it's every time I start a project around the house, I just kind of think, this is going to go really well. It's going to go really fast, and I am going to show my manhood and my carpentry skills or my plumbing skills in an amazing fashion, and my wife will be impressed, and things will be amazing. That's what I think anytime I have any project to do around the house. And I was really excited, actually, on this week, the float. In if you're familiar with toilets, there's a thing called a float, and in one of our toilets in our house, the float broke, which gives you a great example of, you know, like, hey, pastors, nothing's perfect in our house. The floats even break for pastors. Anyway, so the float broke, and I knew I needed to fix it, and I thought, you know what, this is really exciting to me, because I've actually replaced a float before, and so I don't need to look at YouTube videos. I know what tools I need for it right off the bat. I don't need to change into my swimsuit. Like, this is going to go really, really well. And I posted on Facebook, I don't know if you saw this, I'm pretty proud of it. In under 15 minutes, I changed the float in my toilet. It's okay. Not all heroes wear capes. You don't have to applaud that. It's all right. But here's the thing. I have that moment every time I start a project, but I also know that most projects don't go very fast. And I don't know about you, but when we start something new or at the beginning of something new, we tend to look forward and go, yeah, I'm pretty optimistic. Yeah, I'm pretty enthusiastic. I think this is going to go pretty well. For some of you, it might have been a new job that you were starting, and you were thinking, you know what, this job isn't going to be like my last job. My last boss was so this, and my other coworkers were so eh, and so this job isn't going to be like the last job. This job is going to be amazing. Or maybe you think, you know what, you're moving to a new place to live. For some of you, maybe you recently moved to Las Cruces, or you moved to Las Cruces from somewhere that was like a smaller city, and when you lived there, you thought, oh, someday I'm going to live in a city where there's like a nightlife, and there's stuff to do, and then you moved to Las Cruces, and you're like, I'm finally in a city where there's stuff to do. And then you realize that there's still not really anything to do. And so, you know, you were really excited, and then you kind of got here. It might have been a new relationship that you thought, you know what, sure, my last 17 relationships have all ended in drama and trauma, and that, it seems bad, but you know what, this relationship, like, when I look at her, when I look at him, there's something real special in their eyes, and I don't think it's murder, you know? And so, and, you know, and you think, this relationship, it's just gonna be really good. Maybe it's that when you first got married. Do we have any married people in here today? Got any married people? I know we got some married people. That like when you first get married, like everyone is an expert on marriage the day they get married, right? Like everyone knows everything there is to know about marriage the day they get married or the day before they get married. And there's like, I'm gonna get married. I'm going to be like our marriage is going to be amazing. We're never going to fight. I'm never going to get told to sleep on the couch. I'm never going to want to sleep on the couch. Like, we're going to be amazing. Like, and you have that newlywed glow that's like, and it's amazing. And what the glow is really, I don't know anything yet. It's amazing. You know, and so you got that. Or maybe it's like when you first became a parent. Some of you have recently become parents, or you remember what it was like when you first became a parent, and you just walked around with this glow. People are like, you got that new child glow. And they're like, yeah. And the new child glow is really a combination of sweat and puke and no sleep that combines to be this apparently a glow. And you have that, and you're excited, and you're thinking, like, man, I'm just going to be the greatest parent. I'm going to be the greatest husband or wife. Like, we're going to have the greatest relationship. Like, it's just going to be really, really good. It's going to go really well. This new job is going to be fantastic. And for many of us, when we are faced with something new or looking at something new, we would say, maybe use this language. And this is the language that I'm going to just kind of use for us today as we think about that optimism. Is we simply would say, look, I am going to be, or I am going to have, this is going to be, or I am going to be the best blank ever. That you could fill in that blank however you want to fill in that blank. But when you look at the beginning of something or when you're starting something, you would simply say, like I think a lot of times, this is going to be like the best thing ever. Or I'm going to be like the best person ever. I'm going to be the, like, this is going to go really, really well. I'm not going to be the same person that I was before. I'm going to be the best version of me ever. I'm not going to do the same things I used to do before. This is going to be the best thing ever. Again, we can think this in a lot of different terms and a lot of different times in our lives. You could think, you know what? I'm going to be the best husband or wife ever. Like some of you, you may not even be married. And when you look forward to marriage, you think like, hey, I don't have any prospects. I don't know when it's going to happen. But someday when I get married, I'm going to be the best husband or the best wife ever. For some of you, you think as at the beginning of the year, you go, you know what? Hey, I'm going to lose that weight that I should have lost a long time ago. I'm actually going to like set some resolutions and I'm going to work out and I'm going to eat better. I'm going to lose that weight. And unfortunately, Chris, this is the year that they're going to put a Chipotle in Las Cruces and they're going to make it that much more difficult for you to lose that weight that you should have lost. It's like, should have lost in 2016. When there wasn't a Chipotle here, but now there is. And I'm still going to work at it. But you have that idea. Like, I'm going to lose that weight and I'm going to be in the best shape I've ever been in. Maybe you think, you know, hey, I'm going to save money instead of spending money all the time. We're going to eat out less and we're going to build our bank account. Like, we're going to actually grow our savings account so that, like, if the car breaks down, we don't break down. So if the car, like, if the something in the house breaks down, we're not out of it. Like, we actually build a savings account to save money for emergencies and for other things across our life. Like, we're going to do that and our bank account is going to have its best year ever. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, hey, this year, I'm going to go on that trip because life has gotten a little boring, so I'm going to have the best adventures this year. I'm going to have the best adventures. I'm going to make some memories. I'm going to have the best memories that I've ever had, and they're going to come about this year because I'm going to Cancun, or I'm going to Taiwan, or I don't know where you go. I'm going to Europe, or I'm going to South Africa. I don't know where you want to go, but I'm going somewhere, and it's going to create some great memories and some great pictures, and I'm going to have some adventures because I'm going to have an adventurous year. Maybe you're thinking, you know what? This is the year I'm finally going to ask out that person that I've been like Facebook stalking and Insta stalking and just in general stalking. I've been following them around for a while. Like, I'm going to finally ask that person out, and if they say yes to my stalkerhood, we're going to have like a really good, like, it might be the best relationship ever. Like, I'm going to be Romeo, and she's going to be Juliet, and we're going to ignore the part where they both killed each other. You know, they killed themselves. Like, we're going to ignore that, but we're just going to have, like, the best romance ever. Or maybe you think, you know what? I'm going to go to work this year restoring some relationships that have gotten broken and damaged over the years. Like this is the year where I'm going to restore those relationships, and I'm going to do whatever it takes on my part to actually restore those relationships and make my relationships better. And if I actually restore these relationships, it's going to be like the best ever. Like, it's just going to be the best. And so here's the thing. We all know what it's like to feel that optimism, to feel that enthusiasm, to feel those hopes, to feel those dreams, to have an expectation set. We all know what it's like to have that. And at the same time, we all know the pain of what it feels like to not have those expectations met. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where we set a hope, we set a dream, we set a goal, and we didn't accomplish it. It didn't come to pass. It didn't come to be. It didn't happen the way we thought it was going to happen. And so you know what it's like to feel like when you wanted to lose the weight and you wanted to run more and you wanted to eat better and you just didn't. And in fact, you ended up not just losing it. It's not that you didn't lose weight. You actually gained more weight. You know what it's like to feel like that you said, you know, like, this year, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. I'm going to be a better parent. And then when you started the year, you figured out that, like, hey, 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, a month in, two months in, it's kind of just the same. It's not any better. It's kind of just the same thing. You know what it feels like to where you set, like, hey, I'm going to take that trip. I'm going to have adventures. And the furthest you got was El Paso. And you're like, I mean, it's cool. It's El Paso. But I mean, like it wasn't an adventure. It wasn't anything big. It wasn't anything all that exciting. And so you didn't get the adventure. You didn't get the memories. You knew what it was like to set the goal to save money, and you didn't follow through, and you didn't save the money. You knew what it was like when you said, hey, you know what? This year, I'm going to get sober. And a week in, or 2 months, 2 weeks in, or a couple months in, you're back to the same old habits that left you wanting to get sober, but you couldn't figure out how. You know what it felt like to want to ask that person out, and want to ask that person out, and want to ask that person out, but you just never seemed to be able to work up the courage to do it. You know what that feels like. You know what it feels like when you set some resolutions on New Year's Day, and by the end of January 2nd, you had failed them. We all know what that feels like, to have that expectation and that excitement and then to have it not be fulfilled. The way I tend to think of it is this, is what begins with such excitement can often lead to such disappointment. That across our lives, we can begin with excitement, but if we don't have follow-through, it almost always ends in disappointment. And hopes get dashed, and expectations fade, and excitement kind of goes away, and hopes are not fulfilled. And so we know what that feels like, and we know what that feels like, and we know what that feels like because we've experienced over and over and over again where we set some goals and it didn't happen, and we had some expectations and they didn't happen. We had some hopes and they didn't really come to be. They didn't really come to be. And here's the thing. I think if you're like me, this can lead you to a couple different places. The first one is simply, I think that it can lead us to feel like it's a little bit like our life is a little bit like Groundhog's Day. Anybody ever remember that movie, Groundhog's Day, where it's just kind of the same day over and over and over again? And for you, it may feel like life is kind of just the same every day, is just the same, is the same, is the same, is the same. And I don't know why. I have different hopes, but it ends up being the same day. And I have different dreams, but it ends up being the same day. And I have different expectations, but it all kinds of ends up feeling the same because I'm just repeating the same cycles because I'm repeating the same cycles and nothing is really ever different. And with the Groundhog's Day, what unfortunately happens is we set goals and they don't happen and we don't know why. So we end up living with kind of just this constant disappointment. Like, well, I don't know why nothing ever seems to change. I don't know why nothing ever seems to change. And we're going to talk about actually why nothing ever seems to change today. For some of you, it may actually lead you to be very cynical. That you go, you know what, why try? Why hope? Why set a goal? Why set an expectation? Like, why get your hopes up when it never seems to work out? Anybody ever been there? Why set a New Year's resolution? Like, why try? Why try to lose weight? Why try to be a better friend? Why try to be a more encouraging person? Why try to do that when it never seems to really work out? I just end up being the same person doing the same thing, so why even try? And then for others of us, it can kind of lead us to this place where I think we get a little bit half-hearted, where we're not full-on Groundhog's Day, just living over and over, and we're not just completely oblivious. But we're also not completely cynical, but we also know that, like, hey, okay, I'm just kind of in between, and I still have a hope, and I still have a dream, and I still have an expectation. But, like, do I really want to put everything I have into it again if it's just going to not really happen? Like, if it's going to be the same thing over and over and over again, do I really want to try all that hard and put everything I have into it? Is it really worth it? And so what I want to talk about today in this message, best blank ever, is simply this. I do actually believe it's possible that this could be the year that you have the best blank ever. I think it's possible this year that you actually could become the best blank ever. I think it's possible that whatever you hope and experience and whatever God has placed in your heart that you would experience, that you would see, that you would live out, that you would be, whatever that is that God placed in your heart, I actually think it's possible. I think it's possible for you. I think it's possible for me. And that's not just like some optimistic thing. Like if you know me, I'm not like the most optimistic person in the world. I'm not like the, hey, we're going to get through it. Everything's amazing. Like sunshine and roses. Like I'm not that person. I think God's word actually seems to suggest that whatever God has placed in your heart, it's possible. And so at the beginning of the new year, I think one thing that can happen is over time, we've seen it not happen and not happen and not happen and not happen so much that our tendency is to just kind of reduce our expectations. But I want to just maybe say today, can we raise our expectations? Because what God wants to say to us, and he says it in so well in Philippians chapter 4 through the Apostle Paul, he said this, "For I can do everything." Would you guys just say everything? He said, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me," what's that last word? Strength. "For I can do everything." And the amazing thing about this is when you go look back at the Greek translation of that word everything, you want to know what it means? Everything. Whoa. Yeah, that I can do everything or I can do anything, that anything God has planned for me is possible for me because through Christ, he gives me strength. That I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That I can do anything God has called me to. I can do anything that God has placed in my heart. I can do anything that God has put in my mind as a dream. Anything that God has given me a passion and an excitement for. I can actually do that. It is possible for me through Christ who gives me strength. So maybe just at the beginning of the year, maybe it's okay to just remind ourselves, it's okay to get our expectations up. It's okay to have hopes. It's okay to have dreams. That whatever dream God has placed in your heart and whatever dream God has placed in your head and whatever hopes God is stirring in your heart, I believe it's actually possible that if it's a God-honoring thing, God wants to do something in your life. And it's possible that this could be the year that you become the person that God wants you to be. That you become the husband, the best husband or the best wife ever. That you become the best parent ever, that you become the best boss ever, the best employee ever, that you become the best student ever, that whatever dream it is that God's placed on your heart, it's possible through Christ. It's possible. And so as we look at this new year with optimism, we say, hey, it actually is possible. Now, on the flip side, I want to go negative for just one second, because there's a reason that we've all experienced what it's like to hope and then be disappointed, and get excited and then feel disappointment. There's a reason all of us know what that feels like. And if I can be so bold, without knowing everyone here, without knowing most of your stories or much about many of your lives, here's what I just want to take a second and tell you why you've failed at changing your life previously, and why you have not become the best blank ever, or why you've not had the best blank ever, why you've had hopes for the future and they didn't happen. I want to tell you why that has happened. The reason is because while many of us want to change, we're also really good at holding on to the same things that led us to be where we are that we don't want to be. Does that make sense? That we're all really good at holding on to things too long, holding on to things that we shouldn't be holding on to, and it keeps us from reaching out and seeing something new happen in our lives. We fail because we try a little harder at the same things that we've always done, which got us where we already are. So we think, well, I'm just going to do the same things, but I'm going to try harder. And that's going to get me somewhere different. No, it'll just get you where you are faster. It'll make you more stuck where you already are. We fail because we try to be just a little bit better at the things we've always done. And that got us where we already are. We fail because we hold on to the same old way of thinking about the problem. We just put a little bit more effort into it. We fail because we hold on to old things instead of embracing the new things that God wants us to walk into. So let me just give you a few ideas, a few statements that I think are true and I think are backed up by scriptures, and I think maybe some things that just we all need to hear and be reminded of at the beginning of a new year. Number one is, if you want something you've never had, you have to do something that you've never done. If you want to have something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. Let me just say this. If you want to have a 4.0, but you've always been bad at your study habits, you cannot get a 4.0 with your hopes and dreams. You get a 4.0 by doing something different than you've ever done. You can't have the same habits that led to a 2.0 and expect that those habits are now going to lead you to a 4.0. You cannot have the thing you've never had if you keep doing the same things that you've always done. If you want something you've never had, you have to do something that you've never done. Number two is, if you want to be someone that you've never been, you have to think differently than you've ever thought. There has to be a change in mind. This is why Romans 12 Paul teaches to change, to be renewed, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That as we think differently, we behave differently. We become different. We become a different person as our thoughts are renewed by the word of God. So if you want to be someone that you've never been, if you want to be the better husband, be the better wife, be the better spouse, be the better parent, be the better employee, be the better son or daughter, whatever it is, if you want to be that better person, you actually may have to think differently about your situation, about the relationship, about what you expect from them and what you bring to the table. You may have to think differently than you've ever thought. Number three is, if you want something that you've never had, you may have to work at it longer than you've ever been willing to work. I didn't hear any amens there, but let me say it again. If you want something that you've never had, you may have to work at it longer than you've ever been willing to work. See, the reason people fail at their weight loss goals, do you wonder why people fail at their weight loss goals? It's because they stop. It's because they stop. It's because what often happens is right when it's about to start working, people stop. Because it gets hard, because it gets difficult. And let me just tell you something about life change or changing habits, changing relationships. It's true that it will always be harder before it's easier. Yeah. But it's also true that once you get past that point where it's harder, it gets easier. And stuff starts to actually take shape. So some of us, we've given up too quickly. We've given up too easily. And I feel like God wants to say to us today, hey, it's okay to keep pressing on and keep pressing on and keep pressing on, even when it's difficult. Because if you press through the difficult, it gets easier. And it starts to work. It starts to work. That's why in the 12 steps, they say, it works if you work it. It works if you work it. That if you keep working, it works. And number four is simply this, that if you want to experience something new, you may have to discard something old. Yeah. If you want to experience something new, you may have to discard something old. Let me just tell you what I think this means. For many of us, we want to experience something better in relationships, more positive relationships, more loving relationships, more gracious relationships, relationships that influence us in better ways, and yet we still hold on to the old relationships that are kind of negative and influence us in negative ways and lead us to negative places and put us on negative paths. And what this means is simply this, that we can't experience often, we can't experience the new thing and the positive thing and the better directions and the better decisions and the better influence while we're holding on to the old things. And it's okay for us to say, you know what? I may have to sever some ties because there's something better that God has for me. Sometimes I have to be willing to distance myself so that I can experience the good thing that God has for me today. I don't want to simply hold on to that forever if it's not what I should have. I want the new thing, and if it means I have to cut some ties or distance myself, I'm willing to do that. So that's why we failed. That's why we haven't seen what we've wanted to see. And that's how we eventually, if we twist it, if we flip it like that, that's how we begin to see what we actually want to see. That's how we begin to move towards the new. That's how we experience the best blank ever. And so today, what I think that leads us to is another passage in the book of Philippians. See, Philippians 4:13 is kind of Paul's conclusion. If you read Philippians, it's this big, long letter that Paul wrote to this church in Philippi, and he kind of concludes with verse 13 of chapter 4 and says, look, I'm convinced, for like I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's his conclusion. But through the rest of his letter, he's kind of leading up to that, right? He's kind of leading up to that, and he's kind of giving instructions little by little by little of how everything can be possible through Christ, how we can do everything through Christ. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, in the next couple of verses, we see Paul's take on how everything can be possible through Christ who gives us strength. He says this in verse, starting in verse 8, he says, yes, everything is worthless. Would you say worthless?
Worthless.
He says, yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. There's this contrast. Everything else is worthless, but there's one thing that has infinite value, and that's knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else is worthless. Worthless, meaning it is worth less. It's worth nothing. It's worth minuscule. Its worth has such little in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He said, for this sake, I have discarded everything else. Would you say everything else? I've discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness, he says, through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Now, I mean, there's a lot to comment on there. Like, that last verse is like kind of this ominous, like, so one way or another, I'm going to experience the resurrection from the dead. Like, Paul, what are your options there? I don't even know, but one way or another, I'm going to experience that. Paul, you know you have to die to experience resurrection. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Anyway, so here's the thing. I think when we look at those couple of verses, I think there's something so important to notice. And it's when you look at Paul and what Paul is saying there, do you notice that Paul has like a very singular focus to his life? Like if Paul's like, hey, nothing has any value, but one thing has infinite value, and it's knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything else is garbage. I've discarded everything else because I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. And so if you were to put it in the language that we're using today, Paul, what do you want to be the best ever at? Well, I want to be the best Christ knower ever. I want to know Christ, and I want to be the best that there's ever been. I want to follow him, and I want to be the best there's ever been at following him. I want to know him better than anyone else has ever known him. I want to know him more than anyone else. Like, I want our relationship to be deeper than anyone else. Like, that's what I want. And so if you were to ask Paul, hey, Paul, what are you working on today? Paul would be like, well, I'm working on knowing Christ. Okay, that's awesome. Paul, what are you going to be working on next week? Next week, I'm going to be working on knowing Christ. Okay, Paul, you're not playing along with my game because like I'm getting a little bit bored with your answer. Paul, what are you going to be working on next month? I am going to be working on knowing Christ. Okay, Paul, you're still not playing along. Paul, okay, you're in prison, so you may not get to experience this, but 5 years from now, what are you going to be working on if you get out of prison? Oh, if I get out of prison and I live 5 years from now, you know what I'm going to be working on? Knowing Christ. Paul had one thing above everything else. And he said, I'm willing to suffer so that I can know Christ. I'm willing to learn new things so that I can know Christ. I'm willing to put the old away so that I can know Christ. Everything else is worthless except knowing Christ. That's my singular goal. That's my singular focus. So whether I'm in a jail cell or whether I'm free, whether I'm on a boat in the Riviera or if I'm stuck in Las Cruces, New Mexico, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, my focus is knowing Christ. And so Paul, if we could condense a little bit of that and learn something from that, when it comes to changing lives, when it comes to changing habits, when it comes to changing relationships, when it comes to moving forward or experiencing our best blank ever, would simply be this, that it is okay to intensely focus on one thing to the neglect of other things. Paul would say, look, I've neglected this, I've neglected that, I'm neglecting my old way of thinking about a relationship with God, I've neglected some relationships because they weren't fruitful, I've neglected this, I've neglected that, because there's one thing that I really, really, really do want. And when there were moments where I could have chose suffering for Christ or easy street without Christ, I chose suffering with Christ. I've forsaken everything, everything else is worthless because there's just one thing that I want. And I want to know Christ. And so here's the thing for you, if you've got that one thing, I don't know what your one thing, and whatever you put in that blank, whatever your best blank is, what we have to understand is part of the reason we sometimes fail at changing or moving forward or gaining progress is because instead of focusing on one thing, we try to accomplish seven things. And while we're trying to accomplish seven things, our focus gets divided over here, over here, over here, over here, over there, over there, over there. And I'm trying to be the best parent ever. We're trying to save money, and we're trying to have more memories with our kids, and we're trying to be better in our relationships with each other as husband and wife. And we're trying to do this, and I'm trying to also go back to school, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to lose weight. And when we're trying to do all those things, how many of those things do you think end up happening? Zero. Because when we divide our focus, we miss out on the one thing. If we focus on the one thing, often we actually accomplish the one thing. But if we divide our focus to seven or eight things at once, we miss out. This is what when I first really came to Christ as a college student, really like got serious about my faith, I had never read the Bible. I had never prayed. And I remember people talking about the importance of reading your Bible and praying. And I remember thinking, okay, well, I should do both of those things. And a really wonderful pastor said to me, hey, look, you're not going to develop both of those habits at the same time. And I thought, well, that's negative. Negative Ned. His name wasn't Ned. His name didn't start with an N, though, so it didn't fit my narrative. Anyway, so he said, look, what I would tell you to do is take 1 year and focus on one of those habits. And I said, well, that, okay, doesn't that seem like, are you telling me to not pray for a year? He's like, no, I'm not telling you to not pray. Or not read your Bible, but focus on one, and if the other happens, cool. And then at the end of the year, you start the next one, and your first habit will be in place. So I said, okay, I've never read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. And I said, by this time next year, I charted it out. I said, I'm going to read the entire Bible in 1 year. And I charted it out. This was before there was like apps that helped you do that. And every day for that year, I sat down and I read 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible. And I got through it in a year. And I had developed the habit of reading the Bible. And I remember the one year anniversary of when I started reading the Bible. I said, cool, I get to start praying now. And I was like so excited. And I had accomplished something. And I was so excited that there was one thing. There's one thing. There's one thing. And in that 1 year of reading the Bible, it came alive to me. It came alive. And it changed me. Because there was one thing I was focused on. So the lesson here is simply this. We focus on one thing to the neglect of other things. There's certain things you should not neglect. If you're a parent, this is not permission to neglect your children, okay? This isn't like, well, my pastor told me I could leave my kids at home and go to the gym 20 hours a day because my one thing is getting my body better this year. My pastor gave me permission. I think I'm following Jesus. This is not permission to do that. There's certain things that you cannot and you should not neglect. But when it comes to like, hey, I've got 4 things I'm going to change. Well, this year, what if you just did one? And what if it actually happened because you only did one? We'd focus on one thing to the neglect of other things. So Paul then goes on, and because he wasn't done. He had something else that he wanted to say. And so in verse 12, he picks it up and he says this. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. But he says, I press on. Would you say press on? Press on? He says, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward. Forgetting the past, forgetting what's back there and looking forward. Forgetting what's back there and looking forward. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. He then says, I press on. Would you say press on? I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. See, here's what this looks like. Here's what Paul is saying. Look, I press on. I press on. I press on. He says, I forget what's behind, and I move towards what's ahead. In other words, this would be like saying, like, look, I'm here right now. And I know there's the person that I'm supposed to be, and I know that there's like a goal. I know it's over there. There's a prize somewhere at the other end of the spectrum. But I also know that I'm not going to get from here to there in one giant leap. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm not going to get from the person that I am to the person that I'm supposed to be in one day's time. But I might get there step by step, day by day, day by day, and step by step. And here's the thing. Many of us, we get to here, and we go, ah, oh, I haven't reached it yet. And I'm not there yet, and I'm not there, and I'm not yet there, and I'm not there yet, and I'm not there yet. But here's the thing that God would remind us. Yeah, but you're not there either. You're not there anymore. You've made progress. You've taken step by step by step, and you're becoming the person that God wants you to be, and you're moving in the direction God wants you to move, and you're pressing on, and you're pressing on. And so the steps might get difficult, but you're going to keep pressing on. And there may be some opposition, but you're going to keep pressing on. And there may be some days where you don't even want to get out of bed, but you're going to keep pressing on. You're going to keep taking the step that God wants you to take, because eventually there's a prize to be reached at the end. Does that make sense? That there is a goal, and we don't get there in gigantic leaps, but we do get there in steps. And so Paul says, I'm going to keep taking the step. I'm going to keep staying faithful to the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. And whatever step God wants me to take to get to the place that I'm supposed to eventually arrive, I'm going to take that step. What Paul is really reminding us of is simply this, that we don't ever reach a magical someday if we're not responsible to take our steps today. That if I'm not faithful and if I'm not responsible to what God is calling me to do today, I'm never going to reach the magical someday. I'm never going to reach my best ever someday. There is a best ever someday. There is a better husband. There is a better parent that God wants you to be. There is a better job for you. I mean, there's better out there than what you've experienced. But you don't get there unless you're faithful and taking your steps today and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. It's step after step after step after step. Faithfulness after faithfulness after faithfulness. Responsibility after responsibility after responsibility. As we stay responsible and faithful to take our steps today, God leads us to someday. And that's good. And that's good news. Because we all want to reach the someday. And we have to understand that there is a today to be faithful with. There's a faith, a today to be faithful with. You see, here's the thing. We don't reach 1 year sober until we've reached 5 days sober. We don't reach 1 year of smoking free until we've reached 10 days of smoking free. We don't reach positive relationships and positive influences across our lives until we've experienced what it's like to have a positive relationship and a person who influences us in a positive way, that we take step by step by step by step by step. See, as I was kind of thinking about this, anybody ever heard of a guy named Josh Clark? No, you're like, no, that kind of just sounds like a generic white person name. And it is. It's a guy named Josh Clark. And in 1995, Josh Clark was a guy who had just gotten out of college, and he did his first professional job, and he got dumped by his long-term girlfriend. And the way he described it, he was in a funk. He was in just a weird little kind of like depression funk type of thing. And he said, I needed to figure out something to do to get out of this funk. And he said, I always hated running, but people told me that eventually if you stick with it, running can become really therapeutic and it can become like this, you know, thing that actually makes you feel better. He's like, so I decided that I was going to push through that time where it was hard to get to the time where it's easy. Isn't it amazing how this guy actually kind of started to sound like Paul? That if I pushed through the hard, I would get to the easy. And so he said, I set a goal. He's like, at that point when I decided to do it, I was sitting on my couch, and I'd been sitting on my couch for 3 days. Which is embarrassing. He said, I'd been sitting on my couch for 3 days, and I decided that I was going to become a runner, and so I set a goal, and I didn't know what goal to set, but I knew that a 5K was a thing that people did. So he said, I found the next closest 5K on the calendar, and it was 9 weeks away. And so I set a goal that in 9 weeks' time, I was going to move from sitting on my couch to completing a 5K. Now, has anyone ever heard of Couch to 5K? Josh Clark is the guy who started Couch to 5K. And so he said, I set a calendar. And on day one, I was going to do this. And then day two, I was going to do this. And day three, I was going to start small. And I was going to build. And I was going to move myself from the point of being on a couch to the point of being someone who could finish a 5K. And so he said, the first day, he said, I played enough video games as a kid that I knew from Super Mario and Super everything that you just start small and you build. And you eventually can beat the big boss, but you don't start with the big boss. So he's like, the first day, it was alternating for 20 minutes. I would run a minute and a half, and then I'd walk for 2 minutes. And then I'd run for a minute and a half, and then I'd walk 2 minutes. And that, he's like, I did that for 20 minutes. And the second day, I flipped it, and I ran for 2 minutes, and I walked for a minute and a half. And I ran for two, and so he's just like, I just charted this out to where eventually I could run a 5K without stopping. And so in 9 weeks' time, he did that. And there's a day where the previous day, you have an 8-minute run and a 4-minute walk and an 8-minute run. And the next day, you do a 20-minute run, no stopping. He's like, and I hated myself for writing that day in the plan. But I did it because I had accomplished the day before and accomplished the day before and accomplished the day before. And I wasn't going to let myself down from the previous days. He said there was pride in knowing I had accomplished day one and day two and day three and day four and day five. So day six, I knew I could do it. And so he did this, and he ran the 5K. And then his mom, he was like, I want to see if this works for everybody. So he challenged his mom, who was something like 58 or something like that and had never really run ever in her life. And he's like, I want to see if this works for anyone. And if it works for my mom, it can work for anyone. And so he challenged his mom to find a 5K somewhere in the next 9-10 weeks and to do his plan. And she said, that's ridiculous. I hate running. And he said, but don't you love me? And she said, fine. So she did it, and she ran this 5K. And she called, was like, it's weird. I'm a runner now. I enjoy running. I'm a runner, and I accomplished a 5K. And then so she started to tell her friends. And her friends went, can we get the plan too? And so she asked, oh, Josh, can I have some copies of the plans for my friends? And they said, and he said, sure. And then they started to tell people. And so he's getting all these emails, and he says, fine, I'll just do a website. And people can like have it, and they can do whatever they want with it. And if you look today, more than 20 years later, this was in 1996. If you look today, I mean, you can search Couch to 5K testimonials. And they're all over YouTube, and there's blogs dedicated to this. It's very emotional reading to go like these stories of people like, I was 70 pounds overweight, and my doctors had told me that I wouldn't live to see the next Christmas if I didn't do something serious about my health. And so I got on the Couch to 5K program, and all because of Josh and his smartness and his wisdom, I lost 45 pounds, and I have energy to play with my kids, and I have, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is fantastic. Like, I want to cry just reading your story. You know, it's one of those, it's like you used to hear testimonies in church and people were like, Couch to 5K, that did it for me. You know, like it's this interesting kind of thing. And so here's the thing. He stumbled onto, or he understood something that's very, very powerful. And it's something he learned from video games as a kid growing up. And it's something that is common today. It's what's in common from Couch to 5K to Paul's instructions to Angry Birds. It's the concept of leveling up. That there is a next step that's a little bit harder than the previous step. But because you accomplished the previous step, you know you can probably do this next step. And then you can probably take the next step. And you can probably tackle the next step and the next step. And when you start, you're not going to tackle the big, big boss. But by the end, you know with confidence that you can handle it because you've taken little step after little step after little step after little step. This is how life change happens. And so today, what I want to encourage you to do as you think about this year being the best blank ever or becoming the best blank ever or whatever it is for you, whatever you would fill in that blank, I want to encourage you and challenge you to simply take that approach to your life and to level up your life. To level up your life. To level up your life. And what that means is to simply look at your life as a series of steps, to look at your life of here's where I am and here's where I want to be, and I know that I'm not going to jump from here to there, but I do know that I can step by step from here to there. I can step by step. I can level up from here to there. And so really quickly, a couple practical steps for this. What leveling up your life looks like. The first thing is simply this, to identify the end. And when I say the end, I want you to think, like, what is it that I really want? Like, what is it that I really want? Not just some throwaway goal, like, oh, I want to, you know, lose weight, or I want to look better in a swimsuit by July. Like not just something like that, but like a real end of like, what will actually move me forward in life? Like, what actually helps me to be more the person that God wants me to be? What's the goal? Identify the end. Identify the end. Secondly, is to determine your steps. To determine the steps. So you've got the end, you've got the goal. Next thing is to chart out the steps. To chart out the steps. To chart out the steps. And see, there's this verse in the Old Testament that talks about this. It says, "Rejoice for the steps of a righteous person. They are ordered by God." They're ordered by God. It means that there is a plan. There is a step. There is a step that God wants for you and that God wants for me. So we chart out, God, what do you want my steps to be? What are the steps that move me from here to where you want me to be? We determine the steps. Number three is we work the plan. We work the plan. What this means is we stick with the plan even when the plan is more difficult than you anticipated. You stick with the plan because you know if you stick with the plan, you have a better chance of getting to where you want to be than if you give up on the plan. You work the plan. You work the plan. We press on. We keep working at it long after we're excited about the work. We keep working the plan. And I know in that little box, the word that's like bolded in yellow, it's plan. But you know what the real important word there is? Work. We work the plan. We work the plan. We work the plan. And then the final box there is simply this, is that we would celebrate our wins. We celebrate our wins. See, if your thing is like, hey, we're going to save more money, we're going to save more money, we're going to save more money, or we're going to pay off debt, we're going to pay off debt, we're going to pay off debt. This is one of those like weird debt principles, is that when you pay off a debt, you get to go celebrate. Now, you don't go celebrate so much that you end up back in debt, but you celebrate. You're like, hey, you know what? Like, hey, we paid off our student loans, and you know what we're going to do to celebrate? We're going to Texas Roadhouse. Steak time. We're going to Cold Stone, and I'm going to like it, and I'm going to love it, and I'm going to whatever the size is above love it. Because I can't even remember what that is. Like, I got to have it. I'm going to all three different flavors, different mix-ins all over the place. I mean, it's going to be great. Like, that when you have accomplished something, you get to celebrate. And so when you made it through a week where you ran every day, you get to, like, that's when you get to purchase a new song, or that's when you get to purchase a new movie, or you get to take yourself out to, like, that there's something about it that when you have developed the plan of work the plan, celebrate the win, you start to look forward to the win so much that you're willing to push through when it gets hard. Yeah. So we celebrate the wins. We celebrate when we pay off debt. We celebrate when we focus on positive relationships. We celebrate when we've actually been kind to our spouse for 4 days straight. We celebrate when we've actually gotten down on the floor and played with our kids every day for a week. We celebrate that because the celebration helps us keep moving forward to the next win. We identify the end, we determine the steps, and we work the plan, and we celebrate the wins. And here's the thing. That is how everything is possible through Christ, who gives us strength. He gives us strength to take the next step. He gives us strength to identify where we actually want to be. He gives us strength to take the next step and to determine the next step and to take the next step. He gives us strength to work the plan. And he gives us the energy after it's all said and done to celebrate those wins. Yeah. And it's all possible through Christ, who gives us strength. He gives us strength. He gives us strength. And that's what makes it possible. Now, we're about to pray together. We're about to dismiss. But today, I want us to focus on one more thing in that scripture. I'm going to do this really fast. See, it's possible through Christ. It's possible through Christ. And what Paul suggested is the primary thing, the thing above everything else, is knowing Christ, knowing Christ, knowing Christ. And so as you're at the start of a new year, and you're thinking goals, and you're thinking what you want to accomplish this year, and you're thinking who you want to be this year, let me just encourage you and maybe challenge you a little bit. Everything else that you want to accomplish, Paul says it's worthless without Christ. Yeah. Paul says it's nothing without Christ. And so today, if you're here and you're without Christ, let me just encourage you. Today, the best first step that you could take would be to put your trust in Christ, to renew your relationship with Christ, to begin coming back in the direction of Jesus Christ. And so in just a moment as we pray, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that decision, to make the best first step that you can make right here at the start of a new year. Let's pray.